Oklahoma, 8 electoral votes, 29% reported. General Eisenhower out in front in Oklahoma. Here's another surprise. Oklahoma was supposed to be fairly comfortable Democratic. With 29% of the vote in, Oklahoma shows General Eisenhower 114,000 to Governor Stevenson 101,000. Oregon, 6 electoral votes, 1% reported. General Eisenhower's got an early lead in Oregon, 653 to 274. Pennsylvania, 32 electoral votes, another giant and a key state. We've been looking for some indicative figures from Pennsylvania for the last hour, and here they are. Governor Stevenson is out in front by a margin of about 30,000 votes. Pennsylvania, Governor Stevenson, 792,000, 792,000, to General Eisenhower, 764,000. Rhode Island, 4 electoral votes, 36% reported, and General Eisenhower is comfortably out in front in Rhode Island, 79,000 to Stevenson's 54,000. South Carolina, 8 electoral votes, 82% reported, and here's a close one. Governor Stevenson leads in South Carolina by exactly a margin of 609 votes. 609 is the difference, the spread, with the vote only 82% in, and here are the figures. Governor Stevenson, 130,739. General Eisenhower, 130,130. South Dakota, 4 electoral votes, 17% reported. General Eisenhower, well out in front, almost 3-1. 35,000 to Governor Stevenson's 15,000. Tennessee, 11 electoral votes. And General Eisenhower is pulling an upset in this state so far with 59% of the vote reported. Tennessee was a doubtful state. They thought General Eisenhower, Republicans, teams up with the state's riders might take it. Here's the figure, General Eisenhower, 133,000 to Governor Stevenson's 129,000. A margin of about 4,000 with only 59% of the vote reported. Texas, 24 votes, another giant. 33% reported by now, and Governor and General Eisenhower is out in front in Texas by about 30,000. Here's another surprise in the South, although it was predicted. General Eisenhower, 146,000 to Governor Stevenson's 113,000. Utah, 4 electoral votes, 1% reported. 185 to Eisenhower to 26 for Stevenson. And here is a late flash. New York State Democratic Party Chairman Paul E. Fitzpatrick conceded the state to Republican candidate General Eisenhower tonight at 11 p.m. Fitzpatrick, the Democratic Party chairman, has conceded New York's 45 electoral votes. The giant powerhouse goes to Eisenhower, and it begins to look like the Republican predictions of a landslide are coming true. Let's get back to this ballot. Vermont, 3 electoral votes, 31% reported. Eisenhower, 15,000 to Stevenson's 3,000. Virginia, 12 electoral votes, 73% reported. And here's a big break. Another lead in Virginia. Of course, we've told you the state's already gone to Eisenhower completely, but at 73%, it was 202,000 for Eisenhower, 160,000 for Stevenson. West Virginia, 8 electoral votes, 8% reported, and Governor Stevenson is leading in West Virginia, 35,000 to 33,000. Wisconsin, 12 electoral votes, 17% reported, 129,000 to General Eisenhower in Wisconsin, 79,000 to Governor Stevenson. Wyoming, 3 electoral votes, 1% reported, 72 for Governor Stevenson. He's out in front to an early lead in Wyoming, 59 for General Eisenhower. Just a minute now, I've got two sets of national figures. We'll see which are the latest and biggest, and I'll read them all. 12-9, 11-9, these are the latest. So here are the latest figures from the Philco returns for the national election picture. General Eisenhower is out in front by about 700,000 votes. Here it is. General Eisenhower, 6,845,000. Governor Stevenson, 6,117,000. And that's the national election picture at the moment from the Philco tabulator, the state-by-state in alphabetical order. Now down the table for Senate and governor races to W.W. Chapman.
Red, all I have at the moment is one bulletin from New York. It says that Democratic senatorial candidate John Cashmore has conceded to Republican Senator Irving M. Ives, who was running way ahead of him and had been generally expected to win by a sweep. Now, back to you, Red.
Thank you, W.W. Chapman. We've got some figures here which I want to repeat for you because we are reaching what certainly must be one of the critical moments and one of the anticlimactical moments of the evening. New York State has been conceded to General Eisenhower. That's a powerhouse, a block of 45 electoral votes. And also with 20% of the popular vote now reported, 20% now counted, General Eisenhower is out in front by a margin of 700,000 votes. Here are the figures. General Eisenhower, 6,845,000. Governor Stevenson, 6,117,000. And now we pause 10 seconds. In just a moment, we're going to pause 10 seconds for... I beg your pardon, we're a little early yet. A little early for our station identification, so we'll go on here giving you the latest counts as of the moment. The latest electoral count we have, it hasn't kept pace with the popular vote. The latest electoral count we have shows General Eisenhower leading with 298 electoral votes in states that have gone to him or in which he leads, and Governor Stevenson with 203 electoral votes in states that have gone to, or beg your pardon, no states have yet gone to Governor Stevenson in full. Here's more details on Fitzpatrick's announcement on the concession of New York State's block of 45 electoral votes. And I read from his announcement, "The New York State democracy gave its best efforts to one of the greatest candidates the Democratic Party has ever nominated for the presidency. The people of New York," Mr. Fitzpatrick continues, "after 20 years of great progress under the Democratic Party, decided, nevertheless, that they wanted a change. We here in New York accept that verdict with grace." That was Mr. Fitzpatrick's statement of concession. And now we pause 10 seconds for station identification.
This is Billings, KGHL, the Northwestern Auto Supply Company station.
This is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, bringing you News of the World Night Special. Tonight, transcribed and direct, New York. Summerfield claims a landslide for Ike. Springfield, Stevenson refuses to concede so far, but admits things look grim. Richmond, Virginia, Eisenhower cracks the solid South. Chicago, Dirksen claims Republican Senate. Washington, Republicans also claim the House. The Democrats are silent. Those are the headlines. Now for the Miles Laboratories, here's a brief message from Jack Callahan.
They call this the age of specialization, and I guess that's usually true. When you buy a product for one purpose, you seldom think of using it for anything else. But if you buy Alka-Seltzer for relief from acid indigestion, be sure to try it also for relief from cold discomforts. Yes, Alka-Seltzer does offer soothing relief from the headache, the feverish feeling, and the general aches of a cold. So remember this next time a cold catches up with you. Get plenty of rest, eat wisely, and stay out of drafts. And then let Alka-Seltzer help you to feel better while you're getting better. Drop two Alka-Seltzer tablets into a glass of water, let them fizz, and then drink the clear, tangy solution. That's Alka-Seltzer for soothing relief from cold discomforts. Now Alka-Seltzer returns you to Morgan Beatty.
And the news tonight looks very close to the kind of news that says it's all over. The latest bulletin on the election comes from Democratic State Chairman Paul E. Fitzpatrick of New York State. At the Hotel Biltmore campaign headquarters for Stevenson, at 11.02 p.m., a few minutes ago, he conceded victory for General Eisenhower. And incidentally, NBC's electronic brain predicted the victory of Eisenhower at least 3 hours ago, or indicated it, and now the national odds are 9-7 in favor of the general. And there are many other indicators in that general direction. Three states are definitely settled for Eisenhower: Connecticut, Virginia, and Maryland. And Connecticut's gone Eisenhower by the odds of 8-1, Virginia 12-1, Maryland 9-1. And we have a very late report from the mechanical Monrobot, the electric brain. And the brain shows that Tennessee is possibly going Republican at a later hour. The odds are now even, Stephen. One of the most interesting reports we have to date comes from Republican National Chairman Arthur E. Summerfield. At 10:47 p.m. tonight, he claimed a victory for General Dwight Eisenhower in the presidential election. He said, "Dwight D. Eisenhower has been elected President of the United States." There was a cheering crowd at the general's headquarters when he said it. He said, "It's a landslide. It's obviously a sweep from coast to coast, despite the fact that we do not have returns from the far west." Incidentally, Wilson Wyatt, the general manager for Governor Stevenson, has refused to concede anything up to this hour, but he has called a news conference for about 11:15 p.m. We haven't got reports on it, and Governor Stevenson has already sent out words from the mansion in Springfield that things look pretty grim for him. There's no question about it. If you look over the calculations of our electronic calculator here, you find that Oklahoma, Eisenhower odds are now 10 to 9. Texas, Eisenhower favored 4 to 3. Florida, Eisenhower 5 to 3, and no chance for Stevenson to catch up. It's an interesting fact at this point in the election returns that the popular vote does not show the landslide that seems to be in making for the Republican candidate. The popular vote, as of this moment, is Eisenhower 6,327,176, Stevenson 5,678,571. Unless you had all these factors and all these reports from the various states indicating something of landslide proportions coming, you would not recognize the Eisenhower lead as large as it is. Incidentally, the electronic brain here in NBC's election headquarters in New York, very interestingly, just about 30 minutes before Governor Stevenson sent out word that it looked pretty grim, the electronic brain showed definitely it was grim. The odds were 6-5 at that time. They've been changing rapidly, and they're now 5-4. I think we have here a few late bulletins. In Dallas, Texas, we now have confirmation of the electronic brain. Dwight Eisenhower has taken an early lead, and he's held on to it in returns from traditionally Democratic Texas. Unofficial, incomplete vote from 129 of the state's 254 counties at 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time showed 198,000 for the Democratic nominee Adlai Stevenson, 235,000 for Republican Eisenhower. And now we get a bulletin from Springfield saying that Wilson Wyatt, the campaign manager for Governor Stevenson, at 10:05, that would be 11:05 our time, said tonight that despite the claims of the Republicans, there is every indication we will do all right. I don't know what he means by that. But in any event, we'll go to Eisenhower headquarters at this time, to Eisenhower headquarters at the Hotel Commodore, and Frank Burkholder.
It's difficult to describe the preparations for celebration which is building up here at Eisenhower headquarters on the ballroom floor of the Hotel Commodore in New York. On the one hand, most of those present, 1,000 or 2, were confident of victory before they came tonight. They're mostly party workers. On the other hand, the frustration of 20 years out of power is behind what everyone here now expects as a victory celebration just waiting to burst loose. National Chairman Arthur Summerfield has already claimed not only victory, but a landslide for General Eisenhower. Senator Carlson of Kansas is about to do likewise. What's more important, the Eisenhower campaign cabinet, the individuals who've been personal aides, advisors, and guides to the general from the start, have already begun their victory celebration. That's going on up on the third floor, the inner sanctum of this headquarters where General Eisenhower, his close family and friends and advisors, are cloistered from the rest of the operation. For them, celebration has not been particularly noisy. It's been rather a quiet coming apart at the seams, a relaxation of taut nerves that have been strung tighter and tighter for 5 months. Incidentally, General Eisenhower will do more of that tomorrow when he leaves soon after lunchtime for Augusta, Georgia, and a golfing relaxation. But here at the Commodore, it looks as though pandemonium may break loose just any time at all. These people have been hungry and they're about to eat. This is Frank Burkholder at Eisenhower headquarters in New York.
And now a report on congressional races from the man who 4 years ago clearly indicated the House was going Democratic at least 5 hours before anybody else. Here's Ray Henley.
The presently indicated landslide for General Eisenhower suggests that the Republicans will have no trouble in controlling and organizing the House of Representatives in Congress. But we don't know at this point exactly what the prospects are. For one thing, we haven't heard from the West. Because the returns have been slow in coming in, it's not possible to state definitely how many Democratic seats the Republicans will overturn. They must win 18 Democratic seats to capture a bare majority for themselves. At this point in the counting, only 2 Democratic seats have definitely been overturned. The understandable urge of election districts to report the vote on Eisenhower has slowed up the counting of the votes in the races for the House. And so, whereas the House voting usually points the way for the presidential race, this is not the case tonight because the counting on House races is running much slower than usual. This can be taken to mean just one thing, that a presidential victory for Eisenhower, possibly of landslide proportions, is in the making. The trend is so strong that election officials are not making a special effort to find out how Congress seats are going. Tonight, we have plenty of evidence of a heavy trend in the presidential race without having to rely on the races for seats in Congress to point the way. If a presidential landslide does take place, then, of course, the Republicans will have no trouble in electing enough House members to win control. whether or not Eisenhower could expect to carry with him any Republicans from any southern state. In the North, he almost certainly would carry with him a large share of other GOP candidates, especially those running for national office. In Maryland, in Connecticut, in upstate Pennsylvania, in Kentucky, Illinois, Missouri, elsewhere, partial returns indicate a Republican trend for House members. Of a special interest in the way of personality so far is the election in the state of Maryland's 2nd District, just outside of Baltimore, of Major James P. Devereaux, of well-remembered hero of Wake Island. This is Ray Henley.
But the Senate proposition is much more difficult than the House because the Republicans had a severe handicap even long before they started in the Senate races. I'm mighty glad it's in the hands of a competent veteran that we all love. Here's W.W. Chaplin.
Thank you, Morgan. Up to now in the Senate races, 5 Senate seats have been nailed down tight by each side. The Democratic victories are Holland of Florida, Stennis, Mississippi, Gore of Tennessee, Daniel of Texas, and Byrd of Virginia. But the Republicans have taken Noland in California, Purtell and Bush in Connecticut, Ives in New York, and Flanders in Vermont. That might look just offhand like a neck-and-neck race in the Senate side of the contest tonight. But remember that the Democrats had 35 holdovers in the Senate, the Republicans only 27. So it's a simple matter of arithmetic to figure out that even now the Democrats need only 9 Senate seats more than they have now to retain control of the Senate, whereas the Republicans must get 17 if they are going to take that control away. However, the Republicans, riding high on the Eisenhower lead, are feeling very optimistic, and Senator Everett Dirksen, the chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee, says that a nationwide telephone survey showed that the GOP will win the majority in the Senate. Here's what Dirksen said. We've surveyed enough states by telephone in all sections of the country to confidently predict that General Eisenhower will have the full benefit of a Republican Senate with sufficient Republican senators to give him a good, effective operating majority. And then he added, on the basis of the survey we've made, it now appears that none of the incumbent Republican senators will lose and that we'll pick up enough senators in the eastern states to assure a majority. And on the gubernatorial side, there isn't much you can say right now, Morgan, except that 11 Republican candidates are leading and 11 Democratic candidates are leading. This is W.W. Chaplin.
And that's the way the governors usually come out. And now we have late bulletins on the voting. Associated Press returns at 11:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just a few moments ago, a complete national tabulation shows Eisenhower drawing away in the popular vote. As indicated by all of these things we've been hearing, Eisenhower, 8,165,618. Stevenson, 7,375,440. A bulletin from California. 1/20th the vote in. The first report, incidentally, Eisenhower, 119,928. Stevenson, 107,389. And a bulletin from New Hampshire that at first glance doesn't look important, but it is. Democratic State Chairman Romeo St. Lawrence concedes a Republican sweep in New Hampshire. I concede the state without question, he says, but here's what he adds. I am rather surprised at what seems to be going on in the nation. He smells a landslide. And then there's a story of what the rowboat found. Be back with that story in a moment, but now, here's Jack Callahan.
Sometimes it may be eating too much or eating too fast. Both can result in an upset stomach. But when Alka-Seltzer reduces the excess stomach acidity, you'll feel comfortable again. And that's just what Alka-Seltzer does to bring you fast, pleasant relief. Alka-Seltzer reduces stomach acidity enough, but not too much, so you get relief without over-acid bounce back. Try Alka-Seltzer for relief from acid indigestion, upset stomach, and heartburn. Alka-Seltzer comes in 2 convenient size packages on display at drugstores everywhere. Now Alka-Seltzer returns you to Morgan Beatty.
And now, a bulletin from the Monroe, but the electronic brain, shows that Eisenhower is now favored in Rhode Island by a margin of 3-1. Out of 4 chances, Eisenhower has 3 of them, and Governor Stevenson only 1. That's a very interesting return because Rhode Island has long been considered one of the strongest Democratic machine organizations in the United States. A bulletin from Salt Lake City, the first 2 of Utah's precincts to report tonight, give General Dwight Eisenhower 618-116 over Governor Adlai Stevenson. Incidentally, these precincts that are reporting are normally staunchly Republican, so that doesn't mean much, but this may be an indicator. Portland, Oregon, an early return from the West Coast. General Eisenhower jumped off to a big lead tonight in the first returns from Oregon with 12 of the state's 2,000-odd precincts, give General Eisenhower 1,365 votes to Governor Stevenson's 570 states. The reports were from four upstate counties, three of which voted Republican in 1938, but it indicates that Senator Morse did not do too much good in Oregon for the candidate he picked for victory. And that's the news of the world transcribed into direct. Until tomorrow at the same time, this is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, saying goodbye from NBC Election Headquarters in New York.
This is Charles Lyon. Today, more than ever, smart housewives are asking their druggists for one-a-day brand multiple vitamins. There's a reason, of course. And that's because one-a-day brand multiples do the big job of providing all the vitamins a person normally needs, and yet they cost so little. So guard yourself and your family against vitamin shortage, one of the common causes of that tired below par feeling. Be smart. Be thrifty. Insist on one-a-day brand multiple vitamins. Remember, one-a-day brand multiple vitamins.
Now, state and local returns brought to you by Ward City, your exclusive Philco dealer from Billings, KGHL. By recording, here's an interview conducted with Governor Bonner a few moments ago.
Good evening, Governor Bonner. It's a pleasure to talk to you up there in Helena this evening.
Yes, nice to talk to you.
Well, how are things up there in the capital city?
Oh, fine, thanks.
Well, we haven't too many returns in from around the state of Montana here yet, but what do you think about the proceedings so far?
Well, it's hard to tell right at the moment how this is going.
You have...
I've been listening to the National, and of course, we're lucky to see what California and New York's going to do in Illinois.
Well, I noticed from a few late returns we had in here from Montana, Governor, that Stevenson was leading so far.
Yes, I noticed that.
Do you believe that that's going to continue during the period of the evening, or it will change?
Well, that's hard to tell because a lot of the precincts that are in are Democratic, but I honestly think that Stevenson will carry the state.
Well, now, switching from the local Montana scene, Governor, just a moment to some of these states that General Eisenhower has taken. We understand now he has definitely taken Virginia. We know he's taken Connecticut, of course, which was an undecided state, as we understand it. And Florida seems to be going into the Eisenhower column. Now, what do you think about the Eisenhower sweep in those particular states?
Well, I think it's significant, but I do think that the real question is what New York and California and Illinois is going to do yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to your own position yet up there in Helena, have you heard anything yet as far as the returns in your position as governor are concerned, Governor?
Yes, we've heard some local returns from Great Falls and from Butte and Kalispell, and I'm in the lead. But it's hard yet to see what the trend will be.
Yes. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, Governor. We wanted to take a few moments of your time if we could, and we hope later in the evening to get in touch with you again when we have just a little bit more information around the state and, of course, nationwide.
Fine. Well, you call anytime. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you very much, Governor, and we'll see you later in the evening.
Fine. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye.
This telephone interview was transcribed just moments ago for presentation at this time. If you're in the trading mood, you can be sure Ward City is. You will be allowed $139.95 sight unseen for your old refrigerator towards the purchase of a model 1315 Philco refrigerator. Ward City has a limited number of this model, so hurry and take advantage of this special offer. Your old refrigerator makes the down payment with easy monthly payments in the balance, so hurry to Ward City. And now here are more figures on the senatorial race in Yellowstone County, with six precincts reporting. Ecton, 983, Mansfield, 585. This gives Ecton a plurality of 398 votes in Yellowstone County. In the congressional race here in Yellowstone County, Deward has 810 votes, Fraser, 419, this with five precincts reporting. And here's a final count from Broadview in the gubernatorial race in Montana. Aronson, 115, Aronson, 114, Bonner, 55. Broadview is precinct 11. In the congressional race from this precinct, Gosman, in the lieutenant governor's race, Gosman 100, Toole 63. For Secretary of State, Mitchell 74, Price 91. For Attorney General, Republican Castles 97, Democrat Olson 68. A bulletin, Dateline Helena, returns from three of 20 precincts in Richland County, one of Montana's key counties at election time, give the following figures for the top races on the ballot. For President, Stevenson, 45, Eisenhower, 134. For Senator, Mansfield, 42, Ecton, 120. For governor, Bonner, 96, Aronson, 91. And those are the latest returns from the KGHL newsroom and the wires of the United Press. Now, Ward City, your Philco dealer, has what you've been looking for, the new Philco Dairy Bar refrigerator. Transferable shelves, huge 77-pound freezer, bottle space in the drawer, egg racks, butter conditioner, and cheese keeper. All in one beautiful refrigerator. Ward City invites you to stop in and see them tomorrow. Ward City, your exclusive Philco dealer in Billings, has just presented state and local returns from the United Press and the KGHL newsroom. More local returns in 25 minutes. Remember, throughout the remainder of the evening and right straight through until definite results are in, KGHL and NBC will bring you the election results, with KGHL using staff of 18, United Press a staff of 50, and NBC a staff of over 500. Keep your dial tuned to 790 kilocycles and get up-to-the-minute coverage as it comes into our KGHL newsroom this evening and throughout the night. This is Billings, KGHL, the Northwestern Auto Supply Company station.
When your throat feels parched and burning, and for cooler smokes you're yearning, for a whiff that's really diff, just switch from hot to cool.
Yes, as Willie the Penguin says, throat parched smoke.
Cools.
Throat parched smoke.
Cools.
Throat parched smoke.
Cools.
KGHL now joins the lines of NBC for further election returns.
...to the Democrats, which is why the Democratic chairman, Fitzpatrick, gave New York to Eisenhower. Now back to Red Mueller.
A few minutes ago, I told you that Senator Kefauver of Tennessee predicted that Governor Stevenson would be the winner when all the votes were counted. But while he was talking, a bulletin, another Philco returns bulletin, came in from Tennessee, and General Eisenhower is still out in front, although his margin has been cut. He leads now by about 900 votes. Here are the figures. Eisenhower, 185,717. Stevenson, 184,847. In North Carolina, however, Governor Stevenson is continuing to add to his lead there over Eisenhower. 60% of North Carolina has been counted. Governor Stevenson, 443,000. Eisenhower, 324,000. But here's another figure from Texas. With 60% of the vote counted, General Eisenhower is still out in front by about 62,000 votes. Eisenhower, 302,000. Stevenson, 260,000. But now let's get a report direct from the Southland. Let's go to Columbia, South Carolina, and station WIS.
This is W.D. Workman, Jr., reporting that the election in South Carolina still hangs in the balance, although present indications are that the Stevenson-Sparkman ticket does have a lead which will be hard to overcome. With all but 150 boxes reported, Stevenson has an edge of 7,262 votes by our tabulation. The ironic aspect to this situation is that if all Eisenhower votes were on one ticket, the Republican candidate still would be in the lead. That results from the presence on the South Carolina presidential ticket of three slates of electors, one for the Democrats, two for the Republicans. The independent ticket of a group known as South Carolinians for Eisenhower, made up predominantly of Democrats, has posed an amazing vote of 151,800 in this habitually Democratic state. But through confusion on one hand and the refusal of some dyed-in-the-wool Republicans, although they are relatively small in number, it appears that South Carolina will be in the Democratic camp when the votes are in. But certainly the state will not be in the bag. This is W.D. Workman, Jr. in Columbia, South Carolina.
We haven't had a report on the senator and gubernatorial races in some time, so down the table now to W.W. Chaplin.
Thank you, Red. In the gubernatorial races, there are now 12 Republicans leading and 11 Democrats. Nothing very outstanding there to show trends, but in the Senate there is. For instance, the Democrats have nailed down tight 5 senatorial seats and the Republicans 5. But the Democrats have a lot more holdovers. They have 35 against Republican 27. And so the Democrats need only 9 more senatorial seats tonight in order to retain control in the Senate, whereas the Republicans must get 17 to take that control away from them. And the Republicans think that they can do it. Their spirits way up because of the Eisenhower lead. Senator Everett Dirksen, the chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee, has issued a statement saying that a nationwide telephone survey shows that the GOP will win a majority in the Senate. Dirksen says we've surveyed enough states by telephone in all sections of the country to confidently predict that General Eisenhower will have the full benefit of a Republican Senate with sufficient Republican senators to give him a good, effective operating majority. And there seems to be some backing to that optimism in the fact that right now 18 Republican senatorial candidates are in the lead and only 8 Democratic candidates. And now back to you, Red.
Thank you, Bill. Here are some more late figures, and they indicate again that a tidal wave is sweeping the Republicans toward the White House for the first time in 20 years. Here's a new national count. We're up to 17,600,000 votes. Here are the figures. General Eisenhower leads Governor Stevenson. General Eisenhower has 9,229,000 votes to Governor Stevenson's 8,451,000 votes. That's a lead, I believe, of about 800,000 votes. So in the last hour, General Eisenhower has increased his lead by about 300,000 votes. The Republican candidate now has majorities in 36 states with 375 electoral votes. The Democratic nominee leads in 11 states with 147 electoral votes. All of these, of course, are incomplete counts except for the few states that we have closed off for you already. And needed to win, naturally, is 266 electoral votes. I'm looking all around the table here, and I see that the fellow sitting opposite me has a great big grin on his face. Bob, what strikes you so funny other than the fact that this looks like a tidal wave?
Well, an awful lot of activity here, social activity out in this big studio, 8H. Red, and I was sort of admiring the gowns of the ladies and the big smiles all around here as these people are gathered here tonight, listening to the returns and watching the television cameras over here on the other side. Mr. Kaltenborn was talking to one of them just a moment ago, James Farley of New York, a well-known name in Democratic circles for many years.
Could you take him here? Right,
Philco is bringing you this complete roundup of the radio and television coverage of election night in 1952 here in the United States. And Philco presents no other phonograph, I should say, has Philco's true harmonic reproducer. Yet this new triumph in tonal research is yours now in the great new Philco table radio phonograph. In one compact, low-priced Philco instrument, you get Philco's multi-wave radio with special service band, and you get a three-speed automatic changer for all records. This same table radio phonograph brings you the exclusive Philco True Harmonic Reproducer, the first phonograph pickup that reproduces the full range of harmonics. It brings you the most realistic, distortion-free reproduction ever achieved. So see and hear the new Philco table radio phonograph with the incomparable True Harmonic Reproducer. And reserve yours early for a magnificent family Christmas present at your Philco dealers. Well, as we talk to you, plans go on apace here at the NBC Philco election headquarters to bring you various reports from around the nation. They're being set up, as a matter of fact, as we speak to you right now. And back across the table again to Red Muller.
It's time to go roving again, Bob. It's time to go out to the Midwest and get another report from Governor Stevenson's home state. So without delay, we switch to NBC in Chicago.
This is Alex Dreyer in Chicago. The home state of Governor Adlai Stevenson and the old state is rocking. The overall totals, presidential, Eisenhower, 651,000, Stevenson, 697,000. This means Chicago proper, Cook County, and downstate. Governor Stevenson is still running behind the Truman totals of 1948 by a percentage point or more. If we project the figures that we've just given to you, Stevenson will carry Cook County. That is, this is a plurality projection, by only 172,000. Eisenhower will carry downstate by 320,000, which would give Eisenhower an overall plurality in the state of 150,000. Now, this is a projection on the basis of the following returns. However, there are no concessions yet being made here in Illinois, and no claims. So much, then, for the report from Chicago. This is Alex Dreyer in Chicago.